The provisional liquidation of Comair still raises some questions on what will happen going forward. Comair has officially been placed in provisional liquidation by the South Gauteng High Court in Johannesburg. Now, this followed the failure of attempts to raise cash to resume operations at Kalula.com and British Airways. All the affected parties have until the 26th of July to provide the court with the reasons why the provisional liquidation order should not be made a final order. The provisional liquidation is also put under the Comair's franchise agreement with British Airways. To discuss all of this, we're joined on the line by Vincent Manco, the Director for Dispute Resolution Practice at the law firm Cliff Dekker Hofmeyer. Very good morning to you and welcome, sir.
Morning, Elvis. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Manco, first tell us more about the business rescue process and how it leads to liquidation. And in the case of Comair, why was this all necessary?
Thanks, Elvis. So as we all know, Comair was placed in business rescue, I think, almost 2 years ago now, in 2020 May. The reason Comair was a candidate for business rescue was because it was in financial distress. So that meant that it could not pay its liabilities within the ensuing 6 months. So it was a perfect candidate, certainly, for business rescue. But what happened was, pursuant to that business rescue, obviously the business rescue practitioners have been on an ongoing effort to rehabilitate the company, but unfortunately they couldn't raise the necessary funds. And as soon as the business rescue practitioners then could not raise those funds, they have a statutory duty to then apply to court to put the company in provisional liquidation. So that's the process that has ensued so far.
Mm-hmm. So what happens now to the employees, the customers, or any other stakeholder who were owed monies by the company going through liquidation?
That is a very important question, Elvis. So in any liquidation, there's a payment cash waterfall. So, for example, the lenders, most of them would be secured creditors. They will run first. There will be creditors who you can call preferred creditors. SARS, for example, employees would fall into that category. They are preferred creditors, so they get a second bite of the cherry. And then the last sort of creditors, group of creditors, would be your concurrent creditors. Those are unsecured creditors. So your typical ticket holder would typically not be secured. So they would sort of be fed in that list, in that ranking.
What happened to customers, though, in the Comair situation? Because they probably would need a refund. But when will they receive that refund? After the entire process is complete?
Yes, unfortunately, Elvis, that's a bit of bad news. I mean, I've seen some reports that some banks have sort of come up with a scheme to repay their customers or their customers. But secondly, those customers that are not covered by those schemes that, for example, the banks have in place, if you're not covered, you unfortunately will be a concurrent creditor, and litigation can be quite a long process. I mean, at the minimum, Elvis, you're looking at 2-3 years, possibly 4 years, in light of the entity that we're dealing with, it's quite a big entity. So those customers will unfortunately have to wait 3-4 years maybe. And even then, remember you're a concurrent creditor, so there is no guarantee that you'll get your full repayment. You know, in some instances of liquidation, people getting 10 cents in a rent, 20 cents in a rent.
But what about those customers that might feel they were duped because just before the liquidation process, there was a sale of tickets from Comair?
No, most certainly. Those customers certainly will have recourse to the court if they do think they've been duped. Certainly, they do have that recourse to go to the court. And it's not it won't be uncommon for liquidation to then generate that sort of litigation. So that is certainly something that we've seen before, and we can expect in this instance.
Mm-hmm. Now, Comair operated domestic flights in South Africa and the region under the British Airways brand. Now, BA is a separate company from Comair. So what is likely to happen to that agreement, and how does the liquidation affect British Airways?
So at the granting of the provisional order, all the agreements that Comair was a party to, those agreements then, take an example, an employment contract, those would be terminated by operation of law. The other contracts, the trustees in this instance would be the provisional liquidators, the final liquidators once they're appointed. They then have an election whether to terminate them or not. In this instance, presumably they will terminate them because Comair would now finally be wound up. So insofar as the impact on the mother Woon per se, the mother company, I don't see that much of an impact. They have, let's say, a sort of reputational damage.
Mm-hmm. Now, the unions were complaining and pointing the finger at the business rescue practitioner in this process. So what can we now learn about business rescue through the Comair case study?
Look, I think there's a couple of lessons here that we can take. But perhaps the most important one is, you know, any business rescue process cannot succeed without the necessary funding. I think in the context of this instance, we can call it PCF, post-commencement finance. Without the necessary post-commencement finance, it becomes very, very difficult for any business rescue practitioner to rehabilitate the business. So that's something that I think is probably the biggest takeaway from this lesson.
Mm. And is there perhaps a need for more business rescue practitioners, competent business rescue practitioners in the country?
No, most certainly, Elvis. That's another important thing that you raised. But however, we need to put this in context. The listeners will know that business rescue has only been around for, let's say, 10 years or so, because the Act came into effect in 2011. So certainly there's a lot of competent business practitioners out there, but certainly we could do more. We could certainly do more in terms of skilling our business rescue practitioners. But it's still a young profession, only 10 years or so.
I thank you so much for that. That was Vincent Manku, the Director for Dispute Resolution Practice at Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer Attorneys. So what say you around that issue? And, of course, our question for you, your thoughts on the latest blockade on the N3 by striking truck drivers, and should trucking companies be coerced to who they should employ? That's our question for you. If you perhaps were on your way to Durban on Thursday and you were blocked off, I would also like to know where you are right now, if you've reached your destination in the meantime, but you can let me know what's on your mind. Let me go back to some of your comments that we do have here. If I